as we sang that song, I would hope we were praying it at the same time. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when you are near or when you are by. In the next verse, I need you every hour, teach me your will and your rich promises in me fulfill. How many of us, as we sang that song and as we look at those words, say, Lord, help me to use that song and mean it in my own life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us and bringing us here to church that we can hear your word. I pray you will help our hearts and minds to be open and receptive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We find in Scripture so much, and we find so much in Scripture that we can talk about. I want to go back into Jeremiah a little bit. We're studying Jeremiah in our Bible study on Wednesday night, and we're trying to see a little bit of what God is telling Jeremiah to speak to the people. We aren't up to here yet, and there are some very interesting things that we've come across. But in the text for today, we find the potter and the clay. And in that, we find that God is saying, you know, I can take you as an individual, and I can make you into what I want you to be. You see, if you feel your sin is so grievous and so great, and you come to God and you say, Lord, be my Lord and Savior, help me to have you first in all that I say or do and in my life. But I have sinned and I don't think you can use me. God says, I can take, just like the potter did, that clay when he was making that pot and it didn't turn out quite right. He crumbles it back together again and he brings it and makes it what he wants it to be. He can use it. Use us in a different way, and he can do the same thing to us as we let him and allow him. I want to also look a little bit at the last verses there, starting in verse 7. The instant I speak concerning a nation or even a person and concerning a kingdom, pluck up, pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring about it. Now, when we see this word relent, a lot of people will say, God is sorry. No, he is sorry for those people, but he is saying, I will not stop the destruction that I had said would come upon you as a country or as a nation, but I will hold it back because you have left your evil way and you have called upon me and you're asking me to come and to help you. And we see there so very plainly that the people of God, if they will call upon my name, God says, and humble themselves, and they call upon me, I will heal their nation and heal their land. And we see in the United States even, and throughout the world, we have to do that. We see in politics itself, and I'm not preaching politics, but I am saying this, that God has a place in his providence and in his plan for the United States and for each country in the world. Some countries have left him altogether. We find that Christianity, even in the United States, has dwindled because of the onslaught of the things coming against it. We see God, we feel, has given us a reprieve, and we find that God says, I will tear you down and I will destroy you if you don't return to me. And so we see this so very plainly here in Jeremiah. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. And when we look at our country, we have to keep in prayer not only the leaders, but ourselves. And if we don't, we find that Satan will do his work or what he thinks he's going to do to destroy God's kingdom and God's glory. God has given us a Savior that died on the cross for us. God has given us a Savior that he sent into the world for us. And he wants us then to know that it is through Jesus and Jesus alone that we have salvation. As Martin Luther says, by faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone, the Word of God comes to us through the Holy Spirit and will lead us and guide us and keep us as we turn our hearts and our lives to Jesus and as we trust in him. In our epistle lesson, we find that they were having divisions amongst themselves. And this is not good for Christians to be arguing amongst themselves and saying this or that. It reminds me of a evangelist that I heard speaking not so long ago. And he was about 14 years old. And he says, I felt the Holy Spirit tugging at me and telling me that I needed salvation. Well, he says, I didn't know what to do because we never went to church. So he says, I decided I'd go to this church down the street. And I went down there and the minister says, if you want to be saved, come forward. So he says, I got up and I went forward. And he says, I got up there and a man come up to me and he says, you want to join our church? Well, I guess so, he says, if that's what it takes. So the man signed him up and he baptized him. And then he says, I was there about 6 months or so and I still felt this tug because I didn't feel that I had been led to the Lord. Nobody told me that I had to have faith in Christ. Nobody told me that by grace alone are you saved through faith. Nobody had told me Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of our works, it is of God himself, so we can't boast. And in Corinthians, it tells us we are not to look to man and proclaim our goodness, because we are not good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So then we see in Corinthians, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, why are you arguing amongst yourselves and fighting amongst yourselves. Don't you realize? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who do not have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They think it's foolish to think about it. They feel that their scholarly education is smarter than what God is, and they don't need God because they know all the answers. And yet, then Paul goes on, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. We do not understand God's ways all the time, and we do not understand his dealings. He may help us to do what we've been doing, the vocation we've been in. He might leave us there, and yet he may take us out of that vocation and move us someplace else. He may give us a position in which we have a lot of people under us, and as a Christian, we are to treat those people like we would want to be not only treated ourselves, but the way Christ would treat us if he was in charge physically here on earth. We see we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, and this is what Paul is telling us there. And when Jesus gave these two parables, he is saying the same thing. He is saying, you know, the seed of a mustard is so very, very small. Now, most of you have lived on a farm or have done around farm work. Have you seen a mustard seed? How many has seen a mustard seed? Pretty small, ain't it? One of the smallest seeds around. And in Jesus' day, it was probably the smallest seed that they had. You put it in the ground in fertile soil, and it'll grow. The kingdom of God starts out through Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God starts out with Jesus in your heart and in your life. And as it grows within you, you should be mushing out or growing out in your faith, in your walk with the Lord, whether it's in word or deed, that people will see you. And as they see you, they'll see God and glorify him, that they will, through you, be led to Jesus Christ, realizing that their sins has to be forgiven, realizing that their sins are not forgiven unless we come repentantly to Jesus at the cross of Calvary. It's on the cross of Calvary that Christ died for us. He died for all of us, and he died in such a way that he paid all of our sins for the whole world. And in paying that sin, we can come to him at the throne of grace and receive his forgiveness. We can receive his blessings, and we can say, Lord, if I want to live for you, and the Holy Spirit will enter us and live in us and help us to grow day by day as we walk with him. If we turn from our goodness and turn against Christ, God says, I will not remember your goodness. I will not remember what you did good because you have turned against me. And we find this as we look in real life, and we find traitors amongst the different countries many times. And what happens to them? They are normally destroyed. As I was talking about this evangelist that was talking about coming to the Lord or coming before the church and they baptized him, he said he left that church. He went to three churches, and all three had done the same thing. He says they signed him up that he was a member of their church, and they baptized him. But he says not one of them told him he needed Christ. Not one of them told him of the mercy of God. Not one of those churches told him about the grace that God has for each one of us as sinners. And he said it was some years later when he was in the service that he was in New York, and he had come to a mission because they had spent all their money partying. And he says, the man there told him, you know, son, he says, you don't have Jesus in your heart, and because you don't, you are bound for hell. If you have Jesus in your heart, and if you give your life to him, you will find that you have eternal life. And this evangelist said it was about 2 years later when it finally took hold what that man was telling him. He says, when I went to seminary, he says, I found that there was a number of people in that seminary that he went to that this man who had been a professor in Princeton University had led to Christ at that mission in New York City. And we find this is our job, to stand in the gap, to stand and warn people, to tell them it's by grace are you saved through faith. Martin Luther seen this, and he was excommunicated, and he was kicked out of the church, and he became an outlaw, and they told him that if anybody found him, they were supposed to kill him because he was saying you can go directly to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through anybody else. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In this parable, or these parables, Jesus says, you see that seed of the mustard grows and it becomes a tree, and the birds or people from all walks of life will come and be in that tree. If we are that tree and we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, think of all the lives we can touch for Jesus, for the Lord. How we can tell them how Christ saved us and how Christ died on the cross for each one of us, how he forgave us our sin. And then as he goes on, and Jesus spoke in the parable of the leaven being in the three loaves. Three loaves, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit leads each one of us and we realize that the Holy Spirit is in us because we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, we too can go forward in faith without fear because God says, I will take care of you and I will watch over you. Paul asked the Galatians, he says, you know, you were running a race well. What hindered you so you stopped running? And that you started thinking about the things of life. Run the race, realizing that the prize will come in eternity, that God will bless you, God will watch over you, he will give you the comfort and peace that you need, and he will help you each step of the way. Yes, in this world, we're going to have trials, and we're going to have tribulations, but if we keep our faith in Christ, if we do like Peter did when he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come and walk on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter starts walking, looking forward to Christ, keeping our eyes focused on eternity and on heaven itself and on the throne of God with Jesus sitting at his right-hand side. And then Peter looks over and he sees these waves and the wind and he gets scared. And Jesus, he calls out, save me. And Jesus took him up and says, oh, you have such little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And we find the same question comes to us many times. Why do we doubt? Why is it that we turn our eyes off of following Christ? You know, if we have Christ in our heart and in our life and we keep our eyes focused on him, the things of earth will grow strangely dim and we will find our treasure is out beyond this life. And when we pass from this life, we find we leave our shell here, but our spirit and our inner being lives forever. It's the Spirit of God that has given us at birth, and it will never die. And God says, I want you back in my kingdom. He says, I will work, and I will do everything I can to keep you. But remember, man was given a choice, and which road are you going to take? Are you going to follow Christ, or are you going to follow the ways of the world? God says, take the narrow road and follow me, for beyond this life is life eternal. And if you have me as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus says, even though you die physically, you will never die spiritually, and you will have part in that first resurrection. Having part in that first resurrection, we know we have eternal life. When we go into heaven, we're given the crown of life because we had Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He bids us, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. If God wants you to suffer for him to the point of death, he will give you the strength as we call upon him and as you keep your faith in him. And we find day by day that we can live for Jesus if we have him first in all that we say or do. Yes, the times come hard sometimes, and we find it is hard to do this, but if we keep our eyes on Christ, we find that it is easier, and that we find he leads us and guides us and keeps us in his way, that we will not falter, that we will not stray, because we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over each one of us. Help us, O God, to realize that your word in our heart is put there that we can serve others, and help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 417.